That's what Campbell's soups are. Good.
From Hollywood, the Campbell Soup Show, starring Jack Carson. Yes, listen to Jack Carson, Freddie Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, little 9-year-old Norma Jean Nilsen, Irene Ryan, yours truly Del Sharbert, and our guests, George Burns and Gracie Allen. Next time you're marketing, be sure to take home a couple of cans of Campbell's Tomato Soup. It's a dish the family will be mighty glad to see waiting for them any mealtime. Yes, sir, folks always love the smooth, delicious taste of Campbell's Tomato Soup. The matchless flavor of the summer's finest tomatoes blended with golden table butter. Mmm, good. Why, it brings a taste of midsummer right into your midwinter meals. Now, why not start off supper tomorrow with Campbell's Tomato Soup? Remember, it's the soup most folks like best. Well, folks, Jack is all excited about the report that Frank Sinatra has had to postpone his next moving picture. We don't know how all this affects Jack, but let's look into 22 North Hollywood Lane and get the lowdown from Jack Carson.
But, Uncle Jack, even if Frank Sinatra isn't going to make that picture he was supposed to, what's that got to do with you?
Well, Tugwell, they're looking for someone to take his place. There's an ad right here in Variety. Listen to this. It says, auditions for Sinatra's substitute will be held this afternoon.
Does it say that, sir?
Yes, Treacher. Listen to the rest of it. The description fits me exactly. We are looking for a fresh personality. I'm a fresh personality.
So far, so good.
A singer who is young and ambitious. I'm young and ambitious.
So far, that's very good.
And who is handsome to the point where he has an undeniable attraction for the opposite sex.
I knew it couldn't last.
If I'm not handsome, then why do they put me in pictures with Ann Sheridan?
Ann Sheridan keeps asking that same question.
Very funny, Tugwell. Listen to the rest of this ad. The most important requirement for the singer who replaces Sinatra is that he must have a voice that mesmerizes women.
What does mesmerize mean?
Well, it's something like hypnotism. It means that the voice should have a quality that causes women to fall under its spell.
Well, gee, Uncle Jack can do that.
Of course. Tuggle, do you remember when I sang that benefit for the laundry workers?
Well, yeah, right in the middle of the song, three girls stiffened right out.
That's right, they stiffened right out like a board.
Of course, later they found out the girls had fell in a tub of starch.
Maybe so, but those girls were crazy about my singing. They're still sending me mash notes from the laundry. I haven't got a shirt tail that doesn't say, I love you on it. Indelible, too.
Mr. Carson, I don't wish to undermine your confidence, but what if you don't appeal to Mr. Sinatra's followers? You know, that crowd of young nippers who wear Robert's stockings?
You wouldn't by any chance mean Bobby socks.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Uncle Jack, you know, when those kids don't like a person, they sure let them know it in a hurry.
Well, Tugwell, they're just kids, and I'm a grown man. What have I got to be afraid of?
Have you ever got hit in the eye with a wad of Bahat bubble gum?
I never even saw any Bahat bubble gum. But I'll worry about that when I come to it. Bahat gobble gum. Preacher, call up this producer and make an appointment for my audition this afternoon.
Very well, sir. But I think you're getting a bit over your head, sir.
I think I'll vocalize a little bit.
Me!
Doug, we'll answer the door, will you?
Okay.
Hello, everybody.
Hiya, Norma Jean.
Well, hello, honey. Come on in.
Me! Mama, ma, me, ma! Me, ma, me, ma! Me, ma, me.
What's the matter with Mr. Carson?
I'm doing a few vocal exercises, honey.
Me, 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 me.
Yeah, you see, he wants to get his voice so it'll mesmerize girls.
Mesmerize girls? What does that mean?
Well, when you get a little older, you fall in a tub of starch.
Yes, you won't have to worry about that for a few years, honey. I'm practicing because I'm doing some singing this afternoon.
With a chorus, like you did back in Milwaukee?
Hey, when was that?
Mr. Carson told me that he sang back there with a chorus of 1,000 voices.
Well, you remember when I did that, Tugwell. I was first tenor with a Wisconsin Dairy and Cheese Choir.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Not only that, when I sang, you could hear my voice above all the other hundreds of singers.
Golly, I bet you had to strain a lot.
Well, a little, yes.
A little, he says. After every concert, they had to put his eyeballs back in the socket with a pool cue.
Well, they heard me anyway. Now, Norma Jean, why don't you run in the other room and play? I want to get back to practicing this exercise.
All right. Goodbye now.
See you later, honey.
Me, me, me. Ma, ma, me. Ma, me, me, ma, 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 ma.
Excuse me for walking right in, but I knocked and nobody heard me.
Oh, hello, Miss Ryan. I guess we didn't hear you because I was singing. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as could be expected. Recently, I've been having a pain and a sort of buzzing noise in both of my ears.
Oh, that's too bad. Me, 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 ma, ma. Me, me, me,
oh,
ma.
Oh, my, what a glorious voice.
You really think so?
Yes.
You know, that trouble with your ears might be serious.
Look, well, will you try to get lost for a while?
Oh, Mr. Carson, here are those throat lozenges you called and asked me to bring over.
Thanks, Miss Ryan. I needed them in case I overtaxed my voice.
Oh, I was afraid you had a cold. I think I must be getting a cold. I just shiver all the time.
Yes. Well, I was just vocalizing.
You take last night, for instance, I didn't get a wink of sleep.
Yeah, because you were so cold?
No, because I was so warm. You see, I usually put a heating pad in the bed, but last night in the dark, I made a mistake and put in the waffle iron. When I woke up this morning, I had square goose pimples.
That's nice. I see that. Now you're practically non-skid. I was going to tell you, Miss Ryan, that I'm going in for a brand new career. You see, I may...
Mr. Carson, I reached that picture producer on the phone, and he said he could give you an audition at 2 o'clock.
Oh, swell. 2 o'clock would be fine.
Yes, there'll be one other singer there to try out for the job at the same time, sir.
Another singer? Who could that be?
Mr. George Burns, sir. He's being sponsored by Miss Gracie Allen.
George Burns, a singer? Well, he hasn't got a chance against me. If he knows that I'm competing against him, he must be really worried. Well, I'll bet he's home right now, biting his nails.
George, stop biting your nails.
But, Gracie, I'm worried. Do you realize that you got me in a contest to replace Frank Sinatra?
Yes, but there's nothing to worry about. What's he got anyhow? He's not good-looking, and his voice is terrible, and he's so ridiculous the women just laugh at him.
Sinatra's so ridiculous that women laugh at him?
Oh, I thought you were still talking about Jack Carson.
Gracie, I don't mind admitting that Carson may be a little competition.
Oh, pooh, he's nothing.
Of course, he can't sing as good as I can. But look how muscular he is and husky. That might appeal to the women, you know.
Oh, George, you're muscular, too.
I am?
Well, of course you are. Don't you remember when we were married? You picked me up with your two brute-like arms and carried me across the threshold.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Oh, certainly. Oh, and what a wedding night that was. Just you and me and the chiropractor.
Well, he was company for your mother. Gracie, any way you look at it, I'm not as big and strong as Carson.
Oh, George, you always underestimate yourself. You're terribly strong. Make a fist.
Make a fist?
Yes.
Okay, there. How's that?
Better use two hands. Now you're going to get a surprise. Just feel the muscle in your arm.
The muscle in my arm? Where?
Have patience. It'll come swimming by any minute. And don't you worry about Jack Carson. You just keep on like you are, and in no time you'll be another Gregory Peck. Oh, just imagine me married to another Gregory Peck.
Gracie, if I was Gregory Peck, I wouldn't be singing.
Oh, no, but I would. Now, let's see if your throat needs spraying again. Let me hear that beautiful golden voice.
Okay. No one to talk with all by myself. Oh, 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 no one to talk with, I'm happy on the jungle. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, baby, look.
Oh, you sound just like a violin.
Right. A violin? Really?
Oh, yes. If I didn't know you, I'd swear you were Fritz Kreisler's G-string.
Well, thank you very much. Gracie, couldn't I come early and sing for the man before Carson got there? And he'd realize I was the best man for the job and hire me?
Oh, no, it's too late now, George. 2 o'clock was the only hour open, and Jack Carson will be there at the same time. And wait a minute. I've got an idea how we can fool Jack. If it works, you'll be the only one at the audition.
How?
Well, we'll go over to Jack's house, and I'll talk him out of going to the studio at 2 o'clock.
How can you do that?
Oh, well, just leave the whole thing to me. He's a man, and a man is a pushover for a woman's flattery. I'll just tell him he's romantic and irresistible and the best-looking guy in the whole world.
Gracie, to believe things like that, a man has to be pretty stupid.
Well, no, I told you all those things once.
What did I say?
You married me.
Well, okay, where's my hat? Let's go over to Carson's.
Well, this is Jack's house, George. I'll go in first and you wait out here on the porch.
Wait out here?
Yes. I'll try flattery first, and if that doesn't get him to postpone the audition, I'll call you.
And then what?
Well, then you come in and pretend you've got a terrible cold. And Jack will have to postpone in fairness to you.
Oh, I pretend I have a terrible cold.
Yes. Now stand back so Jack don't see you. Mm. I'll ring the buzzer.
Well, hello, Gracie. Come on in.
Oh, thank you. Jack, I've got a big favor to ask you.
Yes?
You know, you and George are going to have that audition today at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to stay here and let George go over to the studio by himself.
Well, why?
Well, don't you see, you silly boy? It'll give you and me a chance to be alone.
Gracie, I don't understand.
Well, I've never told you this before, Jack Carson, but I'm crazy about you. You're ravishing. You're gorgeous. I dream about you every night.
But, Gracie, what about George?
Oh, he doesn't dream. He sleeps on his stomach.
Wait a minute. I don't get this at all. I appreciate your liking me, Gracie, but nothing can keep me away from that audition.
Oh. Well, then I guess I'll have to tell you the truth. George can't sing today because he's got a terrible cold.
Oh, now I begin to see. You figured against my voice, his wouldn't have a chance.
Yes. He's out on the porch now. Oh, wait till you hear how hoarse he is. I'll get him. George, come in here, please. There he is. Just look at the terrible condition he's in.
But Gracie, George always looks that way. How are you, George? What was that?
Say it again, George.
Gee, your voice is in bad shape, isn't it?
Oh, you don't know the half of it. This morning he tried to sing My Blue Heaven and it came out Old Buttermilk Sky. Right, George?
Well, maybe you're right, Gracie. If George isn't there to sing against me, I'd just be stealing the job. I'll tell you what. Okay, I'll postpone the audition for a couple of days.
Oh, good. Thank you, Jack. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Gracie. Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, Jack.
What did you say?
I mean...
Mr. Carson, I overheard the conversation from the kitchen, and I must say you're giving Mr. Burns a sporting chance.
Sporting chance? Nothing. Without him there at 2 o'clock, I'm a cinch to take Sinatra's place. Give me my hat, Treacher. I've just got 20 minutes to make it. Gee, it was nice of you to pick me up in your car, Del. I was in an awful hurry to get over to the studio.
Oh, I was glad to do it, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, this is a brand new car, isn't it? Gee, look at all the knobs and buttons on your radio.
Yeah, it's got four wavelengths.
It has?
Yeah, you press this one, you get Alaska.
Hmm.
You press this one, and you get Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing you can't get on it.
Huh? What is that, Del?
A steaming bowl of Campbell's tomato soup.
Well, you mean you've got one of those old-fashioned radios you can't get a bowl of Campbell's soup on? Get out! Downright unlucky!
Oh, yes, Jack, after a long drive, what could be more welcome than a bowl of Campbell's tomato soup? You see, it's the soup most folks like best. It's so velvet smooth and delicious, so filled all through with the luscious flavor of the world's finest tomatoes, gently seasoned and carefully blended with golden table butter.
You know, Del, an instrument in your car that would heat a bowl of soup wouldn't be a bad idea. It would come in mighty handy when you have a date. Ho, ho! Yeah!
Why, sure, Jack. If you were out with a girl, you could just park on the road somewhere and picture a nice steaming bowl full.
That's not my problem. I need something to cool them off. Hey, Del. Del, look out where you're driving.
Well, don't worry, Jack. I've got extra good brakes.
Okay, but you don't have to tell me that Campbell's tomato soup is filled with wonderful...